Once upon a time. Stories from all over the world have started with those words for centuries. And chances are that as soon as I said them, you allowed your imagination to take over as to what this fairy tale was going to be. Once upon a time. See, I told you. You probably did it again. The truth is that when those four little words are spoken, the imagination is opened up and set free. Some of you are probably thinking about great adventures. Some of you are probably thinking of beauties in distress that are longing to be rescued. Or maybe you're imagining the perfect fairy tale ending where the guy gets the girl and they live happily ever after. But even as I say these words, I'm sure there's those of you out there that are tuning me out. Maybe you're thinking, why is he talking about fairy tales? My life isn't anything like a fairy tale. Maybe you're saying, I've never seen my knight in shining armor, or I never kissed a frog and got a prince. Maybe for you, real life is boring. Maybe it's an existence where day after day just seems to be one big blur. For a lot of us in life, day by day goes on, and nothing really ever seems to change. But be assured of this. I know in my heart that there's something more than just this day-to-day rat race we're living in. I crave adventure. Okay, maybe not the jump out of a plane kind of adventure, but the adrenaline of being busy, constantly being in motion. I want to find the stallion horse and rescue the maiden in the tower. And I mean that metaphorically, since I already have my princess. I want to be someone more than I am right now. And the fact is, I can. I'm sure many of you are familiar with the Chronicles of Narnia series. Its author, C.S. Lewis, wrote about this very concept and the fact that he knew that this life was not complete without something else. Mainly without a higher power to lead and inspire him. He said these words, "Creatures are not born with desires unless satisfaction for those desires exists. If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, the most probable explanation is that I was for another world." Now, by saying this, he wasn't saying he wanted to have an experience with aliens, okay? He just knew that the life he was living here wasn't complete. Something was missing. The same is true for most of us. You and I are meant for that something more, too. Nothing that this world has to offer can truly fill the desires that are so set into our hearts. I grew up in the church. From as far back as I can remember, apparently when I was a baby, though I don't remember that far back, I was at church. Sundays, Wednesday nights, special events, potluck dinners, you know. I started getting involved in music at the church as young as 4, singing at 8, even speaking on a Sunday morning at 15. But as I got further on in high school and in college, I found myself straying from the life I knew when I was growing up. And don't get me wrong, I never strayed far from my faith. But like most high school and college students, there were lots of avenues to take, lots of pressures, lots of temptations to go different directions. And just like any kid those ages, I longed for something more, for friends, for satisfaction, for confirmation, for adoration, for acceptance. And sometimes I wandered into the places where I thought I could find those things, but I knew I shouldn't go. Too often, that longing for something more in all the wrong places becomes how we define ourselves. And it becomes part of our story. So what's your story? Where does it begin? In a small town or in a big city? What about your schooling? Did you go to high school, college, trade school, military? Are you married? Do you work? Do you have kids, family? Everybody has a story. Some stories are filled with happiness and good memories. Others are filled with pain and disappointment and heartbreak. Most, to be honest, are a mixture of those. No one else has your story. It's all yours. Your story is what makes you, you. And at this time of year, we study the beginning of maybe the greatest story ever told. If you've been around for a few years, you might be familiar with the 1965 movie with that very title, which is a telling of the biblical account of Jesus' birth, life, and death. Let's recount the first part of that story, most often read in the book of Luke. Most of us know the circumstances, and I hit on these last week. Simple circumstances, where what seemed to be underappreciated arrangements on the surface were actually God's perfectly scripted series of events. I'll pick up in Luke chapter 2 at verse 8, reading through 14. And this is the New International Version. "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests.'" You know, I must confess that as somebody who led worship for over 17 years in churches and has had an active part in Christmas services for nearly 25 years, I kind of encounter a certain struggle at this time of year. Or maybe I did for a long time, maybe not so much now. But the struggle of how to share the Christmas story without making it seem like it was the exact same thing every year. New service orders for Christmas Eve worship, different readings, different songs to share. But the reality is that though the outline might be different, and it might come from different texts and use different music and different people, the story never changes. And that's because it's the greatest story ever told. At our house, probably like many of yours, there are certain songs we love to hear at this time of year. To be honest, it doesn't seem like the Christmas season unless we hear some of them, and sometimes we listen to them a lot. And there's some that I love that really drive my family crazy. There's certain decorations we've been putting up for years, but they have special meaning for us, and we never get tired of seeing them. There's certain movies that have been traditions to watch each year. Though we can quote some of them word for word, they never get old to us. In and through the birth of Jesus, we see him enter this world in a completely human form that shows an incredible magnitude of love and God's plan for him to become a sacrifice to show his love on our behalf. I want you to think about this for a minute. It's kind of mind-boggling that he would leave heaven and all of its glory for us to take on human form and be bound by the human body and flesh until the agonizing death he would face. All because of you and me. He was willing to do for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. You see, the birth of Jesus holds particularly special meaning for us because of this. Jesus overcame, and so can we. He lived and endured in this world in human form, taught and loved others, then conquered death and the grave. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead is in each of us. It's in you. It's in me. Sometimes we lose sight of what we are blessed with instead of what we don't have or what we might have lost. The fact is that we're loved beyond measure. I want to repeat something I said a few seconds ago. Because Jesus overcame, so can we. Sometimes situations seem so unreachable or unbearable that we think we can't overcome or get through them. And especially this time of year, sometimes it's hard to see the positive if we're going through a situation that doesn't allow us to celebrate the season. Maybe it's a lost loved one, or maybe it's family that can't come to town, or a financial hardship that prevents us from getting things for our kids. I've even heard Christians say, when reflecting on Jesus and his experiences, that Jesus was the Son of God, so he had the ability and the power to get through and overcome because of that power of God in him. Well, newsflash, folks, so do you, and so do I. Countless times in the scriptures, we're reminded that the power of God is in us, and we can use it to help us overcome. Well, I've got a story for you. It's my story, my journey, and how what you think might be a fairy tale ending can in reality be yours too. I say on a daily basis that I am the luckiest man alive, because I get to do what I do as a teacher every day. I get to be married to the most wonderful woman on the earth, to have two of the best kids that I've ever met, and I've met a lot of kids, and to get to go through the experiences and opportunities that I have. I've had people say to me several times, "You guys are so blessed. You just have the perfect life." Blessed, yes. There's no denying that. We are blessed beyond measure. Perfect? Not a chance. I gave my life to Christ 27 years ago and got baptized a dozen years ago. I've committed to giving my life over to God and following His plan for me. And that means I'm blessed. Doesn't mean my life is perfect. As a matter of fact, everybody who follows Christ is almost certain to deal with some sort of trials and persecution. Life is not easy. Matthew 10, 16 and 17 says this in the English Standard Version. "Behold, I am sending you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves. Beware of men, for they will deliver you over to courts and flog you in their synagogues." This is where my story can be difficult sometimes to talk about. In my 24 years as an educator, I've had the opportunity to interact with and enrich the lives of literally thousands of students. And they've all blessed me in some way through the interactions that we've had, the lessons that I've learned from them. But all while that's going on, I've been lied about, thrown under the bus, even been told by kids and parents that I'm an awful teacher. I had a parent one time tell me that I didn't care about my students. I was told one time I might want to consider another profession. And while these types of comments and experiences are very much in the minority, anytime a negative word is spoken, it tends to speak volumes compared to positive reinforcement. I've had many friends and colleagues who have left the profession when experiencing these types of things, because to be honest, they don't feel good, and they sometimes make you feel like you're in the wrong line of work. And looking at my personal life, my marriage is fantastic. I have the best spouse in the world, and there's no denying, though, like any relationship, we've had periods in our marriage, and I've had times as a father when I've said, "I just don't know what I'm doing. I am doing an awful job. I did something wrong. I screwed up." I've even overheard people criticize what I'm doing wrong parenting my children. I've been criticized in musical performance. I've been put down in public circles and on social media. I even have colleagues that talk behind my back, even still. Okay, that was a lot to get out. I've always been a positive, optimistic, look at the bright side of every picture person. But I can't sit here and tell you there were days that I didn't think about the other side, what I did wrong, what I could have done better or differently. And that feeling was very depressing. Let me be clear. I believe it's my life's calling to be an educator, and I would hope people who know me well enough would echo those sentiments. And I believe God has placed in my life the spouse He designed for me and has allowed me the opportunity to guide and mentor my children. He's brought into my life friends and family who have challenged me and helped me grow. So why didn't all the negative things cause me to throw in the towel? And why do I tell all of you what I just told you? No, I'm not looking for a woe is me pity party. It's to show you that I'm real and that, as I've talked about in past episodes, I've overcome. And there's absolutely no logical way I ever could have gotten through this life so far if it wasn't for the greatest story ever told. In my life, the positives way outweigh the negatives. The blessings way outweigh the stressors, and opportunity has way outweighed any sense of being held back. But my story was only possible because of His story. My rebirth, my vision, my strength only became possible because of His birth, His plan, and His sacrifice. If any of you out there are fans of the recording group Big Daddy Weave, one of my favorite songs they've ever done is called My Story. If you've ever heard it, you know what the lyrics are. And if you've never heard it, I would encourage you to look it up. The lyrics sum up exactly what my life's journey has been like. The lyrics include lines like these. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. You would hear love that never gave up. You would hear life, but it wasn't mine. You would hear victory over the enemy. You would hear freedom that was won for me. You would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and when mercy wins, of the kindness of Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. I don't know what any of you listening out there are going to get this Christmas, but one thing I'm certain of is that the greatest gift of all time came to us through this story. And it's available to you and each and every one of us. Jesus has offered us salvation from our sins, eternal life, and a home in heaven. The price has already been paid through his story. See, if the gospel story is not your story, then it's just a story. The Oxford Dictionary says that a story is an account of imaginary or real people and events told for entertainment. But if his story is your story, if the gospel story is your story, it is so important that it becomes the only story, the real story for you. Something real happens when you have that encounter. There's a supernatural experience that leaves you different. And your story is never the same. If his story is not your story, I want to invite you to learn and know the power of God's love and saving grace. He did so much for me, and he can do the same for you. It's as simple as admitting that we can't do it on our own, inviting him to walk alongside us as we go through our daily walk. My prayer for you this season is that your story is his story. And as we get close to wrapping up 2021, I want to thank you again for your continued support of this podcast every week by giving us a gift of your listening ear and your presence each week. I'd encourage you to tune in on New Year's Eve. I'm super excited to share with you a reflection on this year and a look ahead into 2022 and how the power of one can be great in your life. I want to wish you and yours a very Merry Christmas. And as always, I really do appreciate you taking time to listen in. And we'll see you back here next time when we'll have more for you on Cue.